97.9 FM, 1360 AM, along with Southern Season, bring you Side Dish with your host, Liz Cooper. Listen over the next 30 minutes as Liz Cooper brings the Chapel Hill Carrboro community culinary insights from around the world. From local farming to nationally known book authors, Liz shares an array of culinary tips. Brought to you by Southern Season, Chapel Hill's Landmark Gourmet Emporium. Landmark Gourmet Emporium, great for local gifts and delicious favorites. Visit them online at southernseason.com. And now, here's your host, Liz Cooper, with Side Dish on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM, WCHL.
Hello and welcome to Side Dish. I'm Liz Cooper, your host, and today we have Andy Myers with the Jose Andres Think Food Group. Andy, is the wine director. Welcome, Andy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for being here today.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Via the telephone, anyway. So, can you give us a little bit of background about how you got started?
Sure. Let's see. I've been in the restaurant industry pretty much my entire life. Started in working on the snack bar at a country club when I was a kid during the summers. Selling hot dogs and Coke and stuff. Then one day, somebody called in sick, and they needed someone to help with a banquet. So I went up and worked the banquet. The rest of the summer, I was the kid that ran all the stuff up and down the stairs for banquets. Then suddenly somebody calls me sick, and I'm a dishwasher one day. I'm a line cook one day. I'm a bar back the next day. Yeah. Classic restaurant promotions by battlefield death.
Yes, trial by fire. It works out beautifully, doesn't it?
Yeah. So I started with that. Worked in little restaurants here and there all through high school. Got out of high school at the skin of my teeth and did what any smart person would do, which was immediately join a punk rock band and go on tour.
Oh, fantastic.
So, yeah, that worked out real well for me professionally.
It's but, character builder.
In between tours, I would basically come home and get a job waiting table somewhere and then ultimately quit my job waiting table to go back on tour with the band. And that project fell apart somewhere around... it's about 96, and in early 97, I saw an ad that the Inn at Little Washington was looking for somebody to come out and just fill in, sort of same thing. I took a job out there as a busboy. My then-girlfriend, now wife, and I moved out to Little Washington, the town of, I think at the time there were like 80 residents in town.
Uh-huh.
it was quaint, I think is the word we were looking for at the time.
Yeah.
And, yeah, while I was at the Inn, I had an epiphany with a wine over a dinner one night. The sommelier at the time poured me a wonderful Burgundy with a dish I was tasting, and I went, "Oh, this is why people lose their minds right. over wine."
It's and what an amazing place to have an epiphany about wine.
Exactly.
It's such a
wonderful place. I asked him if I could come in and basically apprentice down in the cellar, and in the long line of how you treat cellar rats, I showed up early. I think I came in 2 or 3 hours early. I didn't clock in. He handed me a broom and he said, "Sweep the cellar." Okay.
Fantastic.
Let's swept the cellar. And he said, "Carry the heavy boxes upstairs." Okay. Carry the heavy boxes. He said, "Now go do your real job." Okay. And I came in the next day and he said, "Sweep the cellar." So I swept the cellar.
Fantastic.
And this went on for some time and I just started tasting anything I could get my hands on, asking as many questions as I possibly could, reading every book that I could find. This is a process that still hasn't stopped, and this was 15 years ago or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's always something new on the horizon, something new happening. It's tough
and,
to keep up with.
Over the years at the Inn there, let's say I became a captain on the floor and ultimately the assistant sommelier.
That was a great.
I was there for almost 4 years.
Wow.
And after that, I came. We'd had enough of country living. So my wife and I got married while we were out there, decided we wanted to come back to civilization. So we moved back into D.C. I took a job managing a restaurant and running the wine program for a few years in D.C. And then ultimately that led me to Chef Siebold. And I was Eric Sommelier at City's End Restaurant for just over 8 years. And Eric was the first sous chef at French Laundry and the opening chef at Say. So the opportunity to go work there originally was a mind-blowing opportunity to be able to get. And over those 8 years, he became a great friend, a great mentor, and my time at City Inn was absolutely fantastic. And that restaurant was closing down just as I'd passed my master sommelier exam. And Jose's team called, and I've known Jose for 20 years. And Jose's team called and said, hey, we're looking for a wine director. I said, hey, I'm looking for a new job.
Oh, that's beautiful. You've had quite a illustrious series of internships leading up to this.
I've worked for a couple, two, three decent people.
Yeah, that's it's almost that classic European internship, sweep the floor, shovel the coal,
oh, yeah.
And then maybe I'll show you something.
It's funny. There's an incredibly talented master sommelier out in Aspen, Colorado, Carlton McCoy. Uh-huh. And when I met Carlton, he was a food runner at City Inn Restaurant. And the first day when he said he wanted to work in the cellar, I said, okay, come in tomorrow 2 hours early. And I handed him a broom, and I said, sweep the cellar. And he came back the next day, and I said, here's the broom, sweep the cellar.
It's perfect. That's fantastic. So yeah. You've been with Think Food Group for how long now?
Just about a year now.
Oh, beautiful. Okay. And I sort of glazed over your Master Sommelier, but I think we should maybe mention that's quite the illustrious accomplishment.
I'd love to say that I could forget about it sometimes, but boy, oh boy, was it 10 years of really hard work to get there.
Yeah, it's an amazing feat. And for people that don't know about it, it's like getting a medical degree without being told what you have to know beforehand. It's just,
yeah, there is the whole you don't know what the exam looks like.
Right, right. It's crazy. Well, congratulations. That's wonderful.
Thank you very much. It's something I'm incredibly proud of.
Fantastic. So you're based in Washington, D.C.?
Yes.
And is there a specific restaurant that you're working with, or you do the whole sort of restaurant group program?
In working with Jose, I oversee all of the restaurants, which is great. I spend a little time, I sort of bounce between all of them over the course of the day. Mm-hmm. Now and again, I'll jump into service on an evening on the floor. But for the most part, with the restaurants in D.C., as well as Maryland and Virginia and California and Las Vegas, I find myself traveling and right. doing a lot more behind-the-scenes work than
sure.
what I did as a force only.
Yeah. How many restaurants are there total?
We are at 19 now.
Wow. So that's a lot.
And the next one, let's see, Mexico City is supposed to open in about 7 weeks.
Fantastic. So yeah. as far as your, as the wine program and leading that, is it, are you setting lists at each location or is it more of an educational
situation? I was very fortunate. I inherited fantastic wine lists from my predecessor here in the restaurants that were already open. Mm-hmm. In my time here, we've opened one new restaurant, so that was a list I wrote from scratch. And as we're moving forward, we have five or six new things in the works in the next 2 years, really. I'm writing those wine lists, maintaining the existing wine lists, or in some cases, tweaking them and editing them a bit.
Sure.
And then as well, yeah, a lot of time spent with staff education.
Fantastic. We're going to take a quick little break here, and then I want to come back and sort of delve into the writing of the wine list because I think it's very intriguing. You're listening to Side Dish, 97.9 FM, 1360 AM on WCHL, brought to you by Southern Season. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Liz Cooper, and we were speaking with Andy Myers from the Jose Andres Think Food Group. So we were talking about your putting together and rewriting wine lists, and I find it interesting or intriguing doing this across several states because as many people may not realize, especially when alcohol is involved, every state has different rules, sometimes different rules across counties, sometimes they don't. New distributors in each state, different prices, different laws, different everything. So how do you juggle all that?
As soon as you started mentioning, I mean, we were just meeting with council members from one county, which is notoriously difficult to purchase alcohol from, trying to figure out how we can actually get laws fixed to make things happen. And as well, yeah, I mentioned we're opening up in Mexico City, and the first question was, how do we buy wine in Mexico? every place we open in every restaurant in every state is completely different.
Yeah.
The first thing you do is you take a very deep breath and you think, this is all going to work out. It's going to be okay.
Yes. It's just
for
alcohol.
Me, what I usually do, the first thing I need to do before I even step into any of that sort of the legislature and the craziness of local regulation is have a sort of an ideal wine list prepared for the restaurant.
Right.
So I start with really a blank sheet and it's, okay, how many wines do I want on this list? What categories do I want to fill? How many things do I want in each category? I get a rough skeleton. then it's going through the local plate. I'm looking at New York right now. Mm-hmm. And we're very fortunate to have, there's some great software that happened recently called 750.com.
Oh, they're great.
They're so amazing, yeah. And it lets distributors upload their entire book.
Yeah.
So I don't have to physically take a train up to New York, post up in a hotel for a week and have people bring wine.
Right.
I can do my skeleton wine list just off of that and say, okay, these are the distributors I'm going to need to deal with. This is how this is going to work. It'd be great, great, great.
Yeah. I wish that was mandatory.
Yeah, and I can't believe that it took so long for that to happen. But
yeah.
So that's a huge help to me, being able to use that. And fortunately, one of the great things, I mean, we touched on the master sommelier exam and getting through that. And one of the great things that happens, it's nice to have the silver lining finally, but one of the great things that happens about taking the time it takes to pass masters, and in my case, when I took the exam 5 times, is the friends you make from all
right.
around the world with this right. common pursuit and this common professional experience. So if I'm having a problem in Miami, there are a dozen sommeliers down there that I've known through the program that I can call and say, hey, I can't find this one. I'm trying to find Rudy G's book down in Miami. Who's got it?
Right.
Without even looking at anything else, I can just make one phone call, thankfully, because of the network of people around the country.
Yeah.
So that helps a lot as well. And they also are the ones that tell me, oh, by the way, if you're going to be doing business in this town, you're going to have to deal with this problem.
Yeah, that's always helpful.
Hitting
a new place.
Thank goodness for good friends in this business.
Yes. It's interesting. It's, I guess that is, I hadn't really thought about it that way because it tends to be a bit of a, I don't know, incestuous business, if you will.
I tell every young sommelier, do not make enemies because you will work with everyone again.
Or you may be working for them. So keep your opinion to yourself at home.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yep.
It's interesting. Well, it's such a huge that's a huge endeavor to undertake over
yep.
over many many locations. So are your wine lists, are they pretty well rounded or are they focused restaurant specific?
Yeah, it's for the most part we've been very ethnocentric in our wine list because our very first concept was a restaurant called Haleo.
Mm-hmm.
We now have 4 Haleos, the 5th one opening in Mexico City. And Haleo, this was when Jose Andreas was first introducing the concept of tapas to America. And it's a Spanish restaurant. And the wine list is exclusively Spanish,
right.
Which is very fun. I came from a very much French background, so I was so excited to dive into the Haleo wine list.
Right.
Because
right.
it gave me a chance to study again.
You never tire of that, do you?
Oh, no. You always study.
Right
up the street from Haleo, D.C., we have a restaurant called Zatina, which is Greek, Lebanese, Turkish, Mediterranean, and that's a bill of 85% Greek.
Oh, wow.
Really exciting stuff,
that's
though, as well. And so I get to focus on Greek wine sometimes, but, it was just such a burden I had to go to Greece.
I don't know how you do stuff like that. That's crazy.
Yeah, can we put sympathy into the show? Can you make people feel bad for me for that?
Yes, I'm dabbing my eyes just knowing that you had to travel to Greece to sample all that wine. Very upset.
So that list is focused in that way. We have a restaurant called Oyamel, which mm-hmm. is very classic Mexican food. So there I've been focusing on Southern California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas. Finding wines from that part of the world was
right.
absolutely incredible. I had no idea what was going on down there, and now I'm really excited.
There's some crazy stuff coming out of Baja in Mexico and that whole area.
Yeah, we're actually even doing a Southwest Wine Festival coming up here in another week in D.C. I'm so excited by these wines. I want to show them all.
So do you guys do these at the restaurant? Are you when you do these kind of events?
So when we do the Southwest Wine Festival, I'll be there. We're doing a couple of dinners for it where I'll go in and make it a point to, take their service during those events.
Wonderful.
So I get sometimes the lists are very ethnocentric, but then when you get to Las Vegas and Bazaar Meat out there, that's, I describe those lists as having a Spanish donut hole and an international donut.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's always this core of Spain to just about anything we do, and there always will be. I mean, that's Jose's, that's his home, that's where he's from.
Sure,
that's
and I'm,
the
I would imagine there's
things
some
things.
Expectation of that in
yeah.
just the spirit of the restaurants, exactly.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So I'm going to go back to your festival here for a second. So can you tell us, you said it was next week?
Yes, we're doing, so from July 27th mm-hmm. through August 9th, we're doing a Southwest Wine Festival at our restaurant called Oil Mill mm-hmm. In D.C. And we'll be doing, let's see, we have six tastings we're going to be doing, sort of happy hour tastings, and then two big dinners. We're featuring on July 27th, we're doing a dinner with Kim McPherson from McPherson Winery in Texas.
Oh, fantastic.
Kim's awesome. He's such a good dude. He's the reason that I wanted to do this in the first place. When
That's
we first
great.
Met, all we did was talk about food and wine, as people in our line of work want to do. And he's like, oh, you know, if you like my wine, you should try it with Wild Boar. And we thought, we can get a Wild Boar.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
It's so funny.
We'll be doing a dinner with Kim on Monday the 27th, and then Monday, August 3rd, Sophia and Gruet is coming up from New Mexico, and we're going to do an all-sparkling, all the wines of Gruet and dinner for that.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And we'll be showing as well, we'll be tastings with Cajusa sellers from Arizona and Arizona Stronghold, some of the Merkin wines, all sorts of fun stuff.
Gosh, that sounds fantastic.
We're doing all northern Mexico food, so it should be fun.
Great. So for our listeners or podcast listeners, July 27th through August 9th. And that's, are they all at OYML?
They're all at OYML, and you can go to OYML.com and all the information's there. You can buy tickets to the dinners. You can come for a Wild Boar at me. It's going to be great.
Fantastic. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Side Dish, 97.9 FM, 1360 AM, brought to you by Southern Season. Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm your host, Liz Cooper, here with Andy Myers from Jose Andreas Food, Think Food Group. So the event on the 27th through the 9th sounds fantastic. I wish I was going to be there. So also, as part of the Think Food Group, you guys have, it's your own charity foundation? Is that, am I?
Yes. What started as D.C. Central Kitchen and has now moved out to World Central Kitchen, which is a huge passion of Chef Andreas. Mm-hmm. And when you meet Jose and you get around his passion and his energy, when he talks about the mission of World Central Kitchen, which is basically to eradicate hunger and beat food insecurity, and this concept of no one should be worried about finding good, safe, healthy food to eat and how can we help that. And World Central Kitchen is a nonprofit that he started in 2010 is when it really all came together as best. It's so wonderful to see those guests talk about it. I absolutely encourage people to go to worldcentralkitchen.org and see the great work you're doing, particularly in Haiti right now.
That's great. I like the quote on the website, basically, that because of the type of food and the type of restaurants that he has, you know, there's very few people, or not very few, but there's a small group, select group of people that can afford that sort of luxury.
Right.
And how nice it is to be able to find a way to share that.
Yeah, you have to realize that restaurants in general, we feed a very small slice of the world.
Right.
And a very small slice of the world can actually come to find a restaurant.
Right.
And you have to really think about that when you're craving food all day, every day.
Exactly.
And our ultimate mission is Think Food Group is to change the world through the power of food.
That's great. So would you mind giving the website for the Think Food Group as well as the...
Sure. So that is one big word, thinkfoodgroup.com. Uh-huh. And then World Central Kitchen is also using worldcentralkitchen.org.
And you can always link to that through the Think Food Group website as well?
Yeah, Think Food Group will get you to all of our restaurants, and it'll also get you to World Central Kitchen.
Fantastic. So we're coming close to the end of the show, and I like to ask a question of everybody just to sort of put you on the hot seat, because that's what we do. So if you are invited to a dinner party and you could sit between any two people of your choosing, alive or dead, famous or not famous, who would they be and briefly why?
So we get to go to what do I get to drink with them?
What's that?
You get to bring up what would I drink with them?
You can bring up what you drink with them. That's fine. You can drink anything you want with them.
I think for me, because he's on my mind lately, Francis Maldon would absolutely be one.
The
great Argentinian chef, who basically just cooks so naturally and with, you know, mostly over raw fires. He cooks the way I always like to cook, which is a little feet of a pants and a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
And he just seems like such a lover of life. So I'd love to have him on one side of me, and then boy, who do I put on the other? The geek that I am, I probably would want to sit next to a gentleman named Bruce Dickinson, who is the singer for Iron Maiden, because that's my other great passion, is heavy metal.
That's fantastic. I actually, yep. It's funny because I interviewed another Master Sommelier here not too long ago, and that was one heavy metal and one food person. So there you
that
go.
That had to be Fred Bestheimer.
Yes, it was. I knew you were going to do who it was immediately.
One of my two great, probably my single greatest moment in a restaurant was the day Paul Stanley from Kiss walked in, and I nearly just passed out.
I bet. Oh, that's fantastic. Well, listen, this has been great talking to you. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for taking
out
your time.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll remind people, thinkfoodgroup.com. If you're in the D.C. area on 27th through the 9th, check out Oyamel. This sounds like some great tastings going on as well.
Yeah, we have some really fun wine for you.
Fantastic. Thanks again. You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL 97.9 FM, 1360 AM. Stay tuned next week for another edition.